You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So, I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be two times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
School reopenings or closures become a potent midterm issue for Republicans to win back the suburbs?
Oh, I think it could be, but I hope in God that they're, look, maybe I'm kidding myself, but as time goes on, the voter who is just trying to figure out, as I said, how to take care of their family, put three squares on the table, stay safe, be able to pay their mortgage or their rent, et cetera, is becoming much more informed on the...
Yes?
The motives of some of the political players and some of the... and the political parties. I think that they are not going to be as susceptible to believing some of the outlandish things that have been said and continue to be said. You know, every president, not necessarily in the first 12 months, but every president in the first couple of years, most every president, of the last presidents, at least four of them, have had polling numbers that are 44% favorable. So it's this idea that, but you all, not you all, but now it is, well, Biden's
what in the hell?
One poll showed him at 33%.
The average is 40. Kane can barely contain himself right now. Do you ever listen to people and when they talk, you feel like, wait, are you drunk or am I? What's happening here? It's kind of where we are right now. Welcome, everybody. It's the post-presser show, the cleanup on aisle Brandon. It's good to be with you today. I'm Dana Lash, and you can sign up for the newsletter. I sent some things out over on Chapter and Verse at Substack. If you're a subscriber, you got some of this stuff this morning. Whoo, boy. Okay, so say something nice. Okay, so the nice thing I'll say is that it did go beyond the 30 minutes that I was expecting, right? Because I think we were all thinking this is only going to be 30 minutes and that's with questions. There's no way this man's going to take more than that. This is not going to happen.
And he shouldn't have.
Yeah, and he really shouldn't have. We have so much audio for you. So, like, for instance, audio soundbite 1008, please, where he says he's already bitching about how long he was going. This was maybe halfway through. Listen.
How many more hours am I doing this? I'm happy to stick around.
That was when Ducey was trying to talk to him. By the way, Peter Ducey and Phil Wegman are national treasures and they should be protected at all costs. So let's go right to the yelly part because that's... there were a couple of bombshells and I'm going to get to the minor incursion into... Actually, let's do this now because that was crazy. This is audio soundbite 2. I don't know what to say with this. This was nuts. He was asked about the possibility of a Russia invasion into Ukraine. And hoo boy, listen.
Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion. And then
okay, can I full stop right here? a guy wearing a buffalo head walking around the Capitol, that was an insurrection. But when you, but when Russia actually literally invaded Ukraine back in 2014 when Biden was vice president, that's just an incursion.
Minor
incursion, not even like a major incursion. It's like rec league incursion, not even JV, man. Woo boy. So just a minor incursion, just, you know, little bitty bit of a minor incursion, nothing big. So then Alex Alper, who is not really a conservative, he's with Reuters. He says, so wait a minute, like, what do you mean minor incursion? Listen to this.
I wanted to follow up briefly on a question asked by Bloomberg. You said that Russia would be held accountable if it invades, and it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and we end up having to fight about what to do and what not to do. Are you saying that a minor incursion by Russia into Ukrainian territory would not lead to the sanctions that you have threatened? Or are you effectively giving Putin permission to make a small incursion into the country?
Good question. Anyway, next. There you go. Oh, boy. So I saw today that they are already, they decided to go to get Tom Hanks. He's having such a bad time with everything that the inaugural committee said. They went ahead and they had Tom Hanks come out and narrate a video talking about how resilient everything is. Nobody cares, dude. Then he said he wasn't going to apologize. Audio soundbite 9. This was the other. Oh, my gosh. I just need you to hear this.
My dad used to have an expression. He'd say, son, if everything's equally important to you, nothing's important to you. There is no way to get out of Afghanistan.
Stop. So if everything is equally important, nothing is important. So if you love all of your children equally, you love none of them. That's his logic. I love all my children equally. Well, Joe Biden's dad says if you love them equally, you don't love any of them. Oh, man. Can we?
Yeah. I used to have an expression. Mm-hmm. He'd say, son, if everything's equally important to you, nothing's important to you. There is no way to get out of Afghanistan after 20 years easily. Yeah. Not possible, no matter when you did it. And I make no apologies for what I did. I have a great concern for the women and men who were blown up on the line at the airport by a terrorist attack against them. But the military will acknowledge, and I think you will, who know a lot about foreign policy, that had we stayed and I had not pulled those troops out, we would be asked to put somewhere between 20 and 50,000 more troops back in.
I make no apologies for how I handled Afghanistan. I mean, I make none. None at all.
What about the drone strike?
I feel so bad for those people who got blown up. You mean the kids that you blew up in the van? The van of 10 people with kids? Those people that you blew up? I mean, you blew up a lot of people. I'm just curious as to, you know, which people that got blown up you're talking about here. Oh my gosh, you guys, this was an absolute fecal storm. I don't even know. I don't have words. I couldn't believe it. Critics are saying, and not just critics, the fact that they went and got Tom Hanks. Oh man, I need this soundbite forever. Listen to this. This is, he was asked about his first term. Listen. Oh, 12, sorry. I got so excited, I forgot to tell you which one it was.
Did you overpromise to the American public what you could achieve in your first year in office? And how do you plan to course correct going forward?
Why are you such an optimist? Look, I didn't overpromise, and what I have probably outperformed what anybody thought would happen.
What? I didn't overpromise. I outperformed. If your baseline is like in the red, maybe you outperformed. I showed up and I breathed today, everybody. He showed up breathing. He's already outperforming our best estimates. I outperformed. I did. That's going to be my excuse for everything going forward. I'm glad my kids were in school when this happened and they didn't watch this, because That's a great excuse for kids to use on parents. Well, I didn't overpromise, Mom and Dad. I just simply outperformed. That's what happened. As though they're two mutually exclusive things. Oh my gosh. So I'm stunned. This was the craziest damn press conference I think I've ever seen. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this. Now, can we get to the yelling part? Do I have time? Oh gosh, we got to do this immediately. The yelling part. So Phil Wegman. Oh man. Audio soundbite 17. Phil Wegman gets up and's like, so, you know, you did compare people to Bull Connor. You got anything to say about that? And Biden lost his mind. Listen.
And I know that you dispute the characterization that you called folks who would oppose those voting bills as being Bull Connor or George Wallace. But you said that they would be sort of in the same camp.
No, I didn't say that. Look what I said. Go back and read what I said.
Okay, can we go back and read what he said? Stop right here for a second. We'll continue the yelling. Audio soundbite 16. Let's just go back and hear what he said. Let's go back and hear what Biden
said. So I ask every elected official in America, how do you want to be remembered? At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace?
Oh.
Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor?
So if you don't support the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, then you're siding with Bull Connor. Okay, sorry. Let's go back to Phil Wegman's question, because he's like, you did compare people who opposed the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. You literally did compare him to George Wallace. And Biden's like, no, I didn't. Go back to what I said. Here, sorry, go ahead.
George Wallace. But you said that they would be sort of in the same camp.
No, I didn't say that. Look what I said. Go back and read what I said. And tell me if you think I called anyone who voted on the side of
you just played it, you did
position taken by Bull Connor that they were Bull Connor.
Wait, can I stop this for a second? How dare you say that I called people who took the position of Bull Connor, Bull Connor? That's like saying, I mean, if you want to side with Hitler, so you're saying they're Hitler. How dare you say that I said that people who side with Hitler are Hitler? The hell is this? And he gets mad. I keep interrupting. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting it. It's so good. And
that is an interesting reading of English. I assume you got into journalism because you like to write.
So did you expect that would work with Senators Manchin or Sinema?
No, here's the thing. There's certain things that are so consequential. You have to speak from your heart as well as your head. I was speaking out forcefully on what I think to be at stake. That's what it is. And by the way, no one forgets who was on the side of King or Bull Connor.
So you're saying that they're like Bull Connor. How dare you again, Phil Wegman, accuse me, the senator, president, of saying that the people who are on the side of Bull Connor, holding his hand, hugging him, loving him, adoring him, are Bull Connor. How dare you? So coming up, one of my favorite quotes from yesterday. I want you to think about this. Some deep thoughts by Joe Biden. Forget Jack Handy. Jack Handy's at least were interesting. But Joe Biden's so if everything south of Mexico is America's front yard, is Mexico the porch? Think about this, because this is a literal quote. Veranda's in the back, Kane. Oh. And where's the driveway? Also, is there a tennis court somewhere? I'm just curious. I mean, they are Democrats. So I just want you to think about it, because I always thought that Canada was America's hat. And apparently, and then, you know, like Mexico was maybe the pants, but apparently that's the porch. I don't know what that means, but we're going to play that audio soundbite for you and we'll discuss. I haven't even gotten through a third a fourth of what we have for you today, so I'm not sorry. This year, Valentine's Day is as easy as a kiss. Keep it simply soft with loungewear, pajamas, and underwear from Tommy John. Give a gift of Tommy John loungewear's soft tri-blend and micro-modal fabrics with four-way stretch, so they'll keep feeling the comfort and love all year long. And when the loves in your life are wearing Tommy John, they're that much more comfortable, so they can do everything better. And that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics who call Tommy John lounge joggers quote-unquote buttery soft and the best pants ever. With over 17 million pairs sold, Tommy John's made couples across the country comfier than ever. Let them do the same for you, your Valentine, and everyone on your gift list. Plus, there's no risk. Every gift is backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/Dana. Keep it simply soft with loungewear, pajamas, and underwear from Tommy John. Visit TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Someone's having a no good, very bad 2022. Alec Baldwin is sued now for defamation by the sister of the fallen Marine who was killed in Afghanistan and Joe Biden's withdrawal after Baldwin called her an insurrectionist because she posted selfies in Washington on January 6th. Her name's Riley McCollum. She's 20 years old. Riley McCollum is 20 years old. It was one of the 13 military members killed in the Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul. Her sister, Royce McCollum, has spoken out. She was at the Ellipsis. She was at the Washington Monument the day of the riot, but she wasn't actually, didn't go with the rioters. And Alec Baldwin had called her an insurrectionist. How many people has Royce McCollum killed? And how many people have Alec Baldwin killed? Let's do a body count. You want to have that conversation, right? Moving on. This is good. My friend JJ marked that it's 40 years ago today that Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off a bat at his live show in Des Moines, Iowa. The bat did not survive. It was not able to comment. Now, remember, he thought it was a fake bat. He thought it was a rubber bat, and that's why he bit the head of it. And it turns out it was not a rubber bat. It was an actual real bat. So there you have it. The couple of other things here. The Washington Free Beacon says that the GOP is now looking into the Biden DOJ for originally downplaying the anti-Semitism involved in that Texas synagogue attack. Also, the New York AG, very, very litigious, Letitia. Ooh, that's a good nickname. If she was a garbage pail kid, her name would be Litigious Letitia. New York AG says that Trump's company misled people with misled banks and tax officials. You know what? That story would have come out forever ago had that even been remotely true. How many times are they going to do this? And the Loudoun County school chief, the chief of staff, is out after that scandal over their handling of that sexual assault complaint. Stay with us.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
We used to talk about, when I was a kid in college, about America's backyard. It's not America's backyard. Everything south of the Mexican border is America's front yard. And we're equal people. We don't dictate what happens in any other part of this continent or the South American continent. We have to work very hard on it.
I'm sorry, excuse me? That's the president. That's my favorite quote from yesterday. I don't know what the hell it means, but that's my favorite. We got a lot of other more serious things because we're going to go back to the Ukraine discussion. But welcome back to the show. Your hostess, Dana Lash, here. It's freezing today in Texas. I'm wearing all my clothes. If you're looking at, if you're watching the simulcast, I'm like, what else can I wear? That's warm because it's approximately 28 degrees. I don't do well when it gets under 60. So if everything south of Mexico, according to Joe Biden, if everything south of Mexico is America's front yard, does that make Mexico the United States' porch?
He did say everything south of the Mexican border is their front yard, so maybe not.
He didn't say border.
Yeah, I think he did. Listen, you want to hear it again?
Yeah, did he? All just right. That part. I don't think he did.
We used to talk about, when I was a kid in college, about America's backyard. It's not America's backyard. everything south of the Mexican border is America's front yard.
So he did say border, but yeah.
Still, does that make the Baja Peninsula our driveway? And is the Sea of Cortez, is that like the fountain? You know how some of them fancy people, they got that fountain up in their front yard? Is that like, is the Sea of Cortez like our fountain?
America's fountain.
America's fountain. I don't like that because I was like Mexico, America's pants. And Canada, America's hat. I should say the United States because technically it's not accurate to say America because America can refer to the entire North American continent. The Americas represents North and South America. That was, by the way, that was a response to a really good question. His answer was stupid, but it was a really good question from, I think it was Univision that asked that. And the reporter was from, he was from South, what do you say, South Texas. The reporter's from South Texas. And he had said that he was concerned about, was asking if the Biden administration was concerned about China's continued growth, where it concerns digital infrastructure, internet, et cetera, in South America. And we've talked about this before in the program. And so I thought it was a good question. And then Biden answered it like that. Like, that's so, such, so fruit. He answered it like that. Okay. There you have it. So I've got more. Whew, boy. There's a lot more from this. There's so much here that's just craziness from his press conference. Where do we, I mean, there's, I don't even know. There's so much. So I want to go back really quickly to the his remarks on Ukraine, because he said that it's one thing if it's a minor incursion, as though that would be forgiven. I don't even know how you would define a minor incursion. He was asked about Russia. A secondary question. This is audio soundbite 4. This was weird. Listen to his response here.
Whether or not, I think that, how can I say this?
This is where he turns into a pundit,
a public forum,
instead of a president, which was odd.
I think that he is dealing with,
talking about Putin,
what I believe he thinks is the most tragic thing that's happened to Mother Russia, in that the Berlin Wall came down, the empire has been lost, the near abroad is gone, etc. The Soviet Union has been split. But think about what he has. He has 8 time zones, a burning tundra that will not freeze again naturally, a situation where he has a lot of oil and gas, but he is trying to find his place in the world between China in the West.
Mother Russia. He went from president to pundit at that point, and I thought that that was an odd position for him. And that was one, that was just one of the things that, excuse me, that was just one of the things that I thought was really weird about this press conference. Because it was like you were watching him live game plan. I don't like a president doing that. It was weird to watch on live television. He decided he was going to turn into a commentator and sort of project what he thought Putin was going to do instead of just speaking to the issue as president of the United States. The person whose influence is so outsized and so influential. That was weird to me. And this issue, when he said minor incursion, I don't know how that isn't looked at as a green light. There, you had foreign policy experts on the right and left that were horrified by this. And the messaging, even after, is so disjointed. It is an absolute signal of disunity. When you are, if you're the Kremlin, if you're Putin, you see an ununited administration. I mean, they began cleaning it up right after. Kiev was apparently stunned. Pulling this story up, that was the quote that was used. And today, he had to publicly, Biden had to publicly assert support for Ukraine because it was interpreted, because it was, that he greenlit a limited Russian invasion. Ukraine's president said that, quote, there are no minor incursions. I can't believe he had to say that. The Minister of Foreign Affairs for Ukraine, Dmytro Kubla, commented publicly and said that we should, quote, we should not give Putin the slightest chance to play with quasi-aggression or small incursion operations. Zelensky tweeted out right when it was happening yesterday, quote, we want to remind the great powers that there are no minor incursions in small nations, just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones. I say this as the president of a great power, and he put the Ukrainian flag. That was incredibly troubling to see. That was one of the, that and the election remarks, which we're going to get to, were some of the biggest disasters from this press conference. I mean, absolute disasters. His foreign policy remarks and the fact that you had to have Psaki immediately do cleanup showed such a disjointed administration that I'm sure that Putin just sat back and laughed. Sat back and laughed. I'm waiting for a comment from him. I'm sure that he's going to say some smart aleck. He usually does. The other part of this press conference that was absolutely inexcusable was his remarks on the election. Audio soundbite 6. And now keep in mind that the fight to kill the filibuster was defeated last night, which ultimately means that Democrats' attempts to federalize elections and remove from you and your state your ability to locally control your own elections and give them to an unaccountable behemoth all the way in Washington, D.C., that fails likely as well. I mean, it really is. It's all just a formality at this point to say it. And so he was asked about this, and he continued this lie. Listen to this audio soundbite 6.
Remember how we thought not that many people were going to show up to vote in the middle of a pandemic? We had the highest voter turnout in the history of the United States of America. Well, I think if, in fact, no matter how hard they make it for minorities to vote, I think you're going to see them willing to stand in line and defy the attempt to keep them from being able to vote. I think you're going to see the people we're trying to keep from being able to show up, showing up and making the sacrifice that needs to be made in order to change the law back to what it should be.
Wow. Wow. He spoke a lot about the what he thinks is the delegitimacy of elections. So here's my question. So are we back to now saying that it's okay to question the legitimacy of elections so long as your last name doesn't rhyme with Schrump? Is that what we're saying? Because that's what he did. He his illegitimate election stuff, he said that they could, quote, easily be illegitimate. They've done a 180 away from their whole safe election rhetoric that they were pushing after the election. A complete 180. I was amazed at how far he went with that. Now, they had to, again, go back and try to clean this up. You had all of his surrogates and his handlers. They were all saying, in fact, four of them said this exact same sentence. Quote, he's not casting doubt on the legitimacy of the 2022 election. Really, though? White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki tweeted, quote, he was making the opposite point. In 2020, a record number of voters turned out in the face of a pandemic. Can we full stop right here? I'm going to go back to this quote. Do you know why? Do you know why we had a record number of people who turned out? Because many states were mailing out ballots without even people requesting them. Yeah. That happened. This was part of the voting during a pandemic when a lot of the usual rules and laws surrounding the voting process were suspended. Signature verification, making sure that you could check the date on some of these mail-in ballots to make sure that the vote was actually cast during the voting period. A lot of those were suspended. That's one of the reasons why people were objecting to those specific ballots from those specific counties in those specific states. They wanted them to be verified and validated before they could be certified. That's why it was never about overturning the election. It was about upholding the integrity of the certification process and making sure that ballots could be verified as having been cast legally and during the election period. Democrats going out and saying it was about undermining the election or trying to say that the election was delegitimate, that was an absolute shameful lie. And it's one of the biggest stains in on Democrats in their party's history, besides, you know, the slavery and the sexism and everything else. But the whole point of it was that it was about trying to protect election integrity during a time when a lot of the laws that regulated that to ensure it were suspended because it was a pandemic. So that's why there were a record number of voters. It's amazing that when you send ballots to everybody's houses and you have drive-by voting where you can just drop something in a box, it's amazing. You're going to have a record number. Good heavens. How did that happen? Oh my gosh. It's nuts. They said that Psaki said that the president was explaining that the results would be illegitimate if states do what the former president asked them to do, toss out ballots and overturn results after the fact. That's her quote. Well, again, going to that, Trump never said to just toss out every ballot that he didn't like and overturn the results. I don't know if that Trump said to toss any ballot. All he wanted to do was exactly what I just explained. Make sure that there were signature verification. In Texas, you got to have signature verification for some. A number of these states you do. There were states that suspended by the way, they didn't even follow state law to do this legislatively. They just had a judge with a pen just suspend it. They didn't even follow their state constitution. There were a handful of states that did this. There were counties where they couldn't even verify that the ballots came in before polls closed. There were ballots coming in days after. This is not something up for dispute. And I've never been, you know, a conspiracy theorist, but there are certain things that are very, very tricky here. And all the people who are screaming about this, not a single damn one of these charlatans, and that's what they are, they're charlatans and their concern is theater. Because these are the same people that don't mind a photo ID to get your vax card and have to show your photo ID and your vax card to eat at damn Olive Garden. But a photo ID to go and vote? That's racist. R-A-Y-S-I-S, it's racist. That was one of the biggest, this and the foreign policy, his Russia minor incursion thing, were some of the most ridiculous things from last night. We have more, believe it or not. And I would like to try, let me pull this up. I want to try to get to a couple of other issues. We're still getting into this. The filibuster reform is dead. And Schumer was just defeated. Mitch McConnell bent him over a barrel, basically. All the people that sit here and talk smack about Mitch McConnell, a lot of people don't know what the hell Mitch McConnell does. I see a lot of Republican candidates. I'm not a Mitch McConnell stan. I'm on record as having bitched out this man more than any of these candidates who just became Republicans, more than these, longer than these people have been Republicans. But these people who are complaining about him, y'all don't even know what this man has done in order to secure Trump's judicial agenda. You can thank his parliamentary maneuvers for the conservative Supreme Court and one third of the justices, the federal level being Trump appointees. That's Mitch McConnell who did that, who sought that agenda and brought it to life. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're also going to get into France is now joining the UK, Czech Republic, Israel and more, and easing back restrictions for an endemic approach. So a lot of stuff. Don't let winter weather stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink canned espresso mocha drink. Made with coffee-forward flavors, premium ingredients, and 200 milligrams of caffeine per can, it's a convenient way to fuel your next mission. Black Rifle Coffee Company develops explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members serving this great nation and are committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee Company gives back. The best way to to enjoy their freedom-filled coffee is with the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, partner discounts, and more. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find out what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
Next. There's no question last night was a disappointment. I support what the president said. He's disappointed but not deterred.
So they're disappointed in last night. Thanks.
We are too.
Thanks. She's actually was really talking about what happened with Democrats last night. The filibuster murder didn't happen. And they say that this Nancy Pelosi says that they were keeping that Manchin and Sinema were, well, the squad and other Democrats were saying they're keeping the legacy of Jim Crow alive and well. Here's the problem. You guys use that Jim Crow legacy to block sanctions against Russia, legit, just last week. So I'm confused. I've got questions. I don't even know what the hell happened yesterday with that presser. That was nuts. And I still have more audio to you. Here's the problem. The election delegitimization has been a problem for a long... This has been... Democrats have been going back and forth on this. So now apparently it's okay. We're going to talk about this and a ton more. I have some other crazy sound bites that you need to listen to. Stick with us. I want to take a quick moment and thank my friends at Patriot Mobile for their support. Whether it's this show, CPAC, or the March for Life, these folks are always there supporting all of it because they are fully in the trenches with you. And that's why I'm proud to partner with Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. And I would like for you to do that as well. They offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers, so you get the same great nationwide coverage. Plus, you get the peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responder heroes. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with offer code Dana. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Support a company that loves America, loves you, and shares your values. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Is he really concerned that we may not have fair and free elections?
The president has been consistent on this issue, and the issue at hand, the issue, I was there last night in the chamber of the Senate, and the issue is that there are two bills, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act, that have been the solution that has been offered to address the fact that around our country, states have put in place laws that are purposely making it more difficult for the American people to vote. Laws which will be felt by at least 55 million Americans, regardless of their party affiliation, their race, their gender, or their geographic location.
Well, to the point, though, because so those bills were clear, debated. The bills were debated and they didn't pass. But the specific question, if you don't mind, does he think now that these bills haven't been passed that the 22 midterms won't be legitimate or fair or free?
Let's not conflate issues. So what we are looking at and the topic of so much debate last night was that we as America cannot afford to allow this blatant erosion of our democracy. And in particular,
how does not nationalizing elections erode democracy? I would love for a leftist to explain that to me. I really would. Welcome back to the program. It's good to be with you this Thursday. All kinds of good stuff. DanaLash.com. Go subscribe to that newsletter, chapter and verse. All good things. So, whew, goodness. So Democrats are really mad. Some of the stuff that I've seen, except now if you look at the more hardcore stands, I don't know what else to call them. You guys know what I mean when I say stand. That's like, I shouldn't actually use what is essentially, what is it? Like Gen X lingo or Gen Z lingo, because I'm baby Gen X and I don't want to be confused. By the way, if you see just my hair start like on the simulcast of the radio show fly up in the air, the static electricity problem is real in this place. It's insane. So it just is doing whatever it wants to do. So please ignore me if you're watching. It's a damn radio show. I don't give a rat's ass. Okay. It's a damn radio show. So just listen first. That's what counts. So I'm so mad because I can't do anything to stop it. Doesn't matter if I put water on it. It doesn't matter. It's frustrating. Okay. So what the hell was I talking about?
Midterm elections.
Yes.
2020,
thank you. I say this because I had somebody actually, a dude. No offense. I'm sure it was a drive-by progressive. Like, your hair is flying all over the place. You should control your flyaways. And you can kiss my ass. It's a radio show. You just get a simulcast. The simulcast is not my first priority. Sorry, but it's not. I'm not. It's a radio show. I'm not sitting here to look pretty so everybody can stare at me. I'm just, this is not how it is. I turn into a real biatch about this stuff. So don't. Static electricity. I don't have makeup artists. I'm not a high maintenance kind of chick. I don't care. If you do, go find high maintenance chicks and you can watch those broads, right? Have and listen to them read what their producers give them in packets. All right? All right. So this Democrats are really freaking out because so last night they're blaming everything, all their problems on Manchin, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. But they just were acting on behalf of what their voters were wanting to do. Like Robert Reich, like the stands, and by stan I mean like the Eminem song Stan, who is obsessed with Eminem, and you know that whole, in like his early days, that's where it comes from. But he like Robert Reich tweeted tonight, Republican senators lined up to shake Kyrsten Sinema's hand. Democratic senators should have given her the backs of their hands. What? He deleted it, but a progressive male wanted other Democrats to beat a female and abuse her because she didn't do what the progressive male wanted. Wow. Sounds totally like Democrat dudes. I'd like to give Robert Reich the back of my hand. Delete that tweet. I can't stand that. I can't. Don't sit here and act like you Ike Turner with none of the talent. Shut up, you domestic abuser. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? This is the kind of stuff. Ask your friends who left the Democrat Party. Why'd y'all leave the Democrat Party? Because of stuff like that right there. That's why they left the Democrat. Oh, my gosh. Lord, put a hand over my mouth. Whew. I can't stand that kind of stuff. They should have given the backs of their hands. This man, he looks like this walking COVID comorbidity looks like he can't even make a proper fist. Jiminy Christmas. But I love what one of my friends said. They wrote, this is so great. They said that, where's this at? It's worth it to find it and read it. They said, Reich isn't even 5 feet tall. If he tried to give Sinema the back of his hand, he wouldn't reach. Oompa, loompa, doompa-dee-doo. Same thing. I just want to make fun of him for the rest of the show. Is that all right? Are you guys all right with that?
I'm fine with that.
Man. For things that don't measure up, we're going to say don't. It just doesn't Reich right. That's what we're going to say. If it doesn't measure up, right, we're going to say it doesn't Robert Reich.
Or if you fall short, I just fell.
If you fall short, then he just Reiched it, man. Yeah. He fell short. That's what happens. He Reiched it. He is the walking Katchero. So if you ever watched the anime Ghost Stories, that's a character. Maybe two of you out there will get that. Kane, do you get it?
Yeah.
He's an idney. He's a walking. He is an adult catcher. Don't be a Robert Reich, man. Man, he just really Reiched. He fell short. So they're furious. They're livid. They've sent the squad out. They got every. Nancy Pelosi's like, well, we're disappointed. You wouldn't know because her eyebrows are drawn up to her scalp. You wouldn't know. By the way, can we not do the frowns with the eyebrows? They didn't even do that back in like the flapper days. They were drawn with an arc. They weren't like legit clown frowns. Okay. Why do people be doing their eyebrows like that? Why do you do your face the disservice? So The filibuster strategy is dead. What are they going to do? What's left? I mean, Chuck Schumer walked everybody right off the edge of a cliff. And Mitch McConnell just sat there and laughed. The way that he maneuvered it was quite great. This is why I'm like, look, before you get really mad at Mitch McConnell, and there's things to not like that he's, you know, there's, granted, I'm not defending any of the stupid stuff he's done. I'm telling you what, there is no more, nobody in the Senate who knows the parliamentary measures like he does. He is a walking encyclopedia. He is a parliamentary Machiavelli. He really is. And he understands it. This is why you got the conservative Supreme Court because of Mitch McConnell. You have a third of what the justices, these federal judges that have been appointed, that was part of, remember how I said over and over again a couple of years ago that this is going to be a judicial agenda now for Trump? Well, you have that because of Mitch McConnell. All the cases that are going up in these lower courts before they get to the Supreme Court, those judges, those are a lot of them now are Trump appointees. That's his judicial agenda that was enacted by Mitch McConnell. He gave the agenda out. He gave it to Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell enacted it. A lot of people like to use him as a whipping post. And I noticed some of the candidates out there that do it, they can't even tell you why they don't like him. I see some of these Republican candidates in these primaries in some of these states, and they need a boogeyman, so they go after. I'm like, look, there's a lot of stuff to go after on the left. There's certain things, absolutely, that I disagree with where it concerns Mitch McConnell. But Mitch McConnell only cares about advancing the agenda that is assigned to the Senate and to the Republican Party. He only cares about advancing what voters are putting out there, and you think that he's maybe taking a step back or stepping aside on something, and then you find out that he's maneuvering. So a lot of people, I rarely say that about a politician. A lot of people need to be careful in their criticisms. But I see it like a Missourian, so in that Senate primary. I see, what is it, Greitens, the guy who hates the Second Amendment Preservation Act and went off on it because he was repeating Democrat talking points, which isn't surprising because the guy was a Democrat up until 2016. He was recruited by the Democratic Congressional Committee. There are receipts all over the damn internet. I've had bowel movements that have lasted longer than his Republican credentials. And then he thinks that he can shoot a 50 cal in a video and that's going to give him some kind of two-way legitimacy while he sits here and goes off on the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which is all about making sure that the federal government doesn't jump the commandeering clause and violate the 10th Amendment state sovereignty, especially as it relates to Second Amendment rights. I mean, it's completely, absolutely something to support. And he was the guy who made the Capitol a gun-free zone until pushback made him not do it. And he's one of those dudes who hates Mitch McConnell. It's interesting that some of the people who are advising him are people who try to grift off the Tea Party, and they created these organizations and they made money off the Tea Party, and that's how they were able to buy their big houses. Don't make me name names and don't criticize me. So I keep receipts. I told you guys this. So that being said, McConnell outmaneuvered Schumer. Completely outmaneuvered him. And I'm looking at this and Schumer's, I think, one of the dumbest majority leaders that Democrats have had. He really is. I mean, it should not have been that hard for him to at least, I mean, he couldn't get his own party together. He's had Manchin support Democrat agenda on a lot of stupid stuff. He wasn't even going to get a vote for Manchin on cloture for any of this. I mean, it's just DOA. So between this and the completely dead reconciliation vehicle that they were going to use for the Biden's busted budget bill, what have they accomplished legislatively this past year? I know you can't name anything. You can't name a single thing. You can't. What have they accomplished legislatively? Nothing. Nothing. Oh, wait. No, they had they had one infrastructure bill. I hear you. One infrastructure bill. But that's because there was some commonality with some Republicans in that. And some Republicans, I mean a few. So now Biden, I was reading this piece today. This is, it was a Reuters, or not a Reuters, excuse me, Associated Press piece. And now it goes, I'm pulling this up. So the White House has some of the remarks that he gave. He wants to break up his Biden busted budget into a bunch of different pieces so he can get everybody on board. So now they're going to try to break it up so it doesn't clog up the sewer. That's what they're trying to do. I have no other analogy for it. That's what they want to do now. Good heavens. This is just such a mess. I have more audio. I have not played enough audio of the presser. Because there's a lot. So here, this is what we needed, because that press conference was something else. Audio soundbite. Let's actually do 13, please.
Of course you have to be concerned when you have, a nuclear power invaded. If he invades, it hasn't happened since World War II. Well, this is the most consequential thing that's happened in the world in terms of war and peace since World War II.
What happened in 2014? Oh, that's right. Russia invaded Ukraine. Who was vice president?
Biden.
You blew it. You blew it. We have more to come, folks. Coming up, some of the things that we're going to get into. Starbucks killed their company vaccine mandate. NBC said they're not sending announcers to China for the Olympic Games. We got that for you. An American Airlines flight from London to Miami turned around an hour into its journey because someone wouldn't wear their mask. Oh my God. It did. We got all that and more to get into, so you don't want to miss. It's a lot. We got a lot happening today. You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This story is crazy. They call him the real-life Aquaman. A brave Tongan was swept out to sea by the tsunami. He's hailed as a hero. He calmly drifted for 28 hours through the darkness and strong currents to reach safety. Lasala Fulau was swept away when a tsunami hit. His island is Itata. That's an island near the mainland in Tonga. Tonga's a bunch of different islands. And Mr. Fulau miraculously survived because he let the currents carry him for miles and miles. He drifted to nearby islands before he reached mainland late Sunday. This is unbelievable. And this is crazy how this happened. But I've never heard of a story like that. That's unbelievable. Thank you, Lucius Malfoy. Harry Potter, Jason Isaac said talking about J.K. Rowling, quote, "She said some controversial things, but I'm not going to be jumping to stab her in the front or the back." And he said that social media debates are blown out of proportion. He was slamming the cancel culture. He plays Lucius Malfoy. He's Draco Malfoy's dad. Good on him. I'm a fan now. I like him. I'm so glad that he has common sense. And oil prices hit a 7-year high. Thanks, geopolitical tensions. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to get into. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show coming up. Do you sometimes find yourself wondering how much control you really have over your finances? Recently, we've seen a complete assault on freedoms and liberties by the government. Mask mandates, vaccine mandates, and now even vaccine passports, all trying to limit whether you can even go to a grocery store or restaurant. And we've seen how quickly the government can infringe on your personal freedoms. So are your personal finances next. This is why I believe in diversifying with gold. Gold is physical, it's tangible, and gold is safe from government control. Gold can give you true control over your wealth, control that's not tied to government-regulated financial markets. And the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide information at legacypminvestments.com. That's Legacy, the letter P, the letter M, investments.com.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
But look, let me ask a rhetorical question. No, I won't. Anyway.
Gosh, by the way, I like Boy George and I love Culture Club right there. That song is great. Welcome back. That was Joe Biden from yesterday. Welcome back to the show. Man, it's gotten so bad. Kane went to get his bacteria water.
That is Sorry. Not the proper way to frame that.
Let me ask a rhetorical question. No, wait, never mind.
Kombucha is not well, I guess it is technically a bacteria.
There you go. I was not wrong.
It's healthy bacteria, though.
I'm not saying that it's not. There's not bacteria. It's just like it's bacteria water. You can call it like berry, whatever.
I mean, did you not get sick to your stomach that after that presser last night? I think
I was too busy.
I think some probiotics.
Going, and then laughing.
Some probiotics. I went back would be and beneficial. Forth. That's all.
Does he wear a shock collar where he gets close to the mic and whispers at certain points? Do they just go bzzz and he just talks normal and then he gets like this? I mean, what is that even? I have more of the press conference audio, but I got to ask y'all a question. This is not a rhetorical question. Can you eat candy if you don't feel represented by that candy? You know what I mean? Like, case in point, I was like, why is M&M's trending? Whenever something trends, I get nervous. Like, I saw Denzel Washington trending the other day, and I got super nervous because I know, right? That's my actor. My favorite actor. And I'm like, I swear, if nature took this man, I'm going to kick nature in the jimmies. And I'm like, and it was just all the Macbeth stuff, which apparently is a really supposed to be a really good adaptation. Although Mel Gibson as Hamlet, I think, is probably the best adaptation that's ever been ever. That's the best of that. Anyway, so I saw M&M's were trending. I'm like, the heck is M&M's trending for? Please don't be something stupid. Oh, wait, it is. So I asked if you felt represented by the candy you eat. Because apparently you can't eat, what you call these things? Chocolate lentils? I don't know what the hell you call the things.
Little chocolate buttons.
Chocolate buttons. So they say, I can't believe I'm reading this stupid headline, but this is, everything is so dumb. And the static electricity in the studio is real. M&M's updates mascots to represent a more dynamic and progressive world. So that this is literally this is what's being written. I'm not making this up. M&M's iconic mascots are getting an updated look and personalities and backstories to align with the fact that consumers value inclusion and belonging more than ever. Green will embrace confidence and a new pair of kicks. Oh, how do, fellow kids? Red will tone down the bossiness. Oh. Orange will acknowledge his anxiety and more. Is there going to be a gay lentil?
Yeah. Did you see the tweet I put in Slack?
Do I want to?
You kind of do.
Wait a minute. This like is a betrayal of canon. So brown is kind of butchy. The brown lentil and green is a lesbian, apparently. Great. I don't know about you guys, but I wasn't going to be able to eat chocolate lentils unless I knew one of them was a lesbian. I just didn't know. Oh my gosh, I just had the most un-PC thought, Kane. I'm not even going to be able to mute myself and say it. It's going to have to be on break. So, yeah, it's you better thank me for that.
I'm thanking you right now.
I mean, I better be like, thank I'm all you. Kinds of cosmic high fives right now because, man, it's a goodie.
But like everything else, I care about what's on the inside. And the inside of all of these, no matter what their outside lentil-y
shell. It's candy.
It's canned chocolate.
It's candy. One of them's a nut.
It's true.
Two of them are nuts. So brown is, so green is the, I'm just going because this is what stereotype, that's, so green's the lipstick lesbian and brown's supposed to be the nerdy butchy one? For real?
I think so.
So which is the M&M that identifies as something else? I don't think they're represented. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Whose anxiety in consumer world is so stupidly dumb that you can't eat a piece of candy unless, well, I don't know, is the candy gay? I don't know. Is it have anxiety? Is it trans? Does it identify as something else? I don't know. I just can't eat my candy.
Does it identify as a sick slip?
For real. Like, what's going to happen to Mike and Ike's? Sexist. It should be named Mike and Karen's or something. Like, for real, are we going to do this with everything? This is the dumbest stuff I've ever seen. Who's waking up M&M's? Why do we have to have woke M&M's? I think the most disturbing and thing about it was that wasn't there the intimation at one point that they fed on themselves for sustenance? I mean, isn't that like...
That's true.
Oh, wow. Okay, so maybe they're not... Are they lesbians or not? I think they're suggesting it without... you guys have the brass to say whether or not they're lesbians. So this is... here. So here's what it is. It says... The green M&M and the brown M&M will have a more friendly relationship showcasing a force supporting women. Okay, the way they were sitting, like they have their hands in each other's laps. I'm just saying, it's I don't sit with my girlfriends like that, okay? I don't like sit next to my girlfriend and put her hand in her my hand in her lap. It's weird. I don't do that.
The text says, it's rare Ms. Brown and I get to spend time together without some colorful characters barging in.
Interrupting our lesbian times. Says, I mean, I just don't know, says, like what?
Says Ms. Green.
I just don't know.
It's like, why are we doing this?
Why is everything so stupid?
And by the way, if you're eating fistfuls of M&M's daily, you're a walking comorbidity.
Maybe if we make it woke, people will eat and get fatter.
Right.
Did you guys ask you guys a question?
It's their comorbidity.
Do you guys sit with your dude friends like that and you guys put each other's hands in your laps?
I'm going to go with no.
I don't know who sits like that. That's why I'm like, are they lesbians? Or are you just suggesting without actually having the courage to fully embrace the wokery? I don't know.
Maybe they're just really close friends.
This is the stupidest thing ever. Anyway, they say, so see, here's, this is what I'm telling you. It says, the two characters' dynamic will have them together throwing shine and not shade. I hate that. The two characters have sometimes been at odds in advertisements. But they've also been seen as friends, or more than friends, in others. Like this tweet from 2015 showing the two holding hands on a beach. Okay, so yeah, it's they're lesbians. Wow. Don't you think that the anxiety that they have comes from the fact that they're candy and people want to eat them? I mean, this is so stupid. Does everyone feel better? Do you feel more accepted and loved in life? Are all your daddy issues gone because you have candy that feel like it represents you? Well, I wasn't going to eat this candy, and my daddy issues were driving me to levels of anxiety not seen ever before until I realized that the red M&M really identify with it, and the green M&M I identify with this one too. It makes me happy and makes me feel accepted and seen and heard. It's my truth. It's candy. If you have to seek validation from candy, go away. Go away from humankind. I'm done. We're all done with you.
Jeez. I think we have bigger issues to worry about at this moment.
I don't. So they're oversexed cannibals. No. Is that what I to understand about this? I'm still going back to the fact that they literally ate each other for sustenance. That was in one commercial. I don't know if this is the dumbest thing or the study that was on the privilege and generational wealth in the animal kingdom was the dumbest thing so far this week.
This week is packed.
I am at a loss. So I'm at a loss. So let's really quick, because this is one of the things we're going to be talking about next hour. Audio Soundbite 20, James Clyburn doing an interview this morning where he was talking about the thing that Biden was hitting on yesterday in his weird, wild presser about how he doesn't think that election results are going to be legitimate without the Voting Rights Bill, which then does that mean that Joe Biden's election isn't legitimate because he didn't have the Voting Rights Bill? I'm just asking. This is Clyburn.
Do you agree with what he said in that press conference? Are you concerned that without these voting rights bills, the election results won't be legitimate?
I'm absolutely concerned about that.
Well, there it is.
So we're going to discuss this some more. We got Florida Man on the way. So just FYI.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
And I know that you dispute the characterization that you called folks who would oppose those voting bills as being Bull Connor or George Wallace, but you said that they would be sort of in the same camp.
No, I didn't say that. Look what I said. Go back and read what I said and tell me if you think I called anyone who voted on the side of the position taken by Bull Connor that they were Bull Connor.
And
that is an interesting reading of English.
You said that, though. Audio Soundbite 16, you said it. You said it, though. This is what you said.
Every elected official in America, how do you want to be remembered? At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor?
So Phil Wegman, he got mad. He got mad. Why does he do that? Somebody hit his shock collar. And they made him get right up on the mic. I'm surprised he didn't do one of these. Jiminy Christmas. I don't know. I just don't know. While that was going on, Mitch McConnell was murdering the murder of the filibuster. They were trying to get the filibuster. Democrats were trying to get that, flip that out. And Mitch McConnell murdered their dreams. He murdered their dreams. He got mad, though, with that. It was so bad. Man, it was bad. All right. You know what it's time for. Let's hit it into some Florida Man, shall we?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I love the cow. The cow really adds something to it. All right. So first up, excuse me. I just don't know how I can. This is in Clearwater, Florida. And this Clearwater Council, City Council candidate, a report says that Aaron Smith Levin, a candidate for City Council seat 5, caused a bar altercation. And his defense was, I am a work in progress. So what happened is he went to the bar to sign up voters. Then he got into a fight with some dude. And then he screamed the see you next Tuesday word at his girlfriend. So I guess the signups didn't go well. That's what it sounds like. The sign-ups didn't go well. But he was asked to comment, and he issued a statement saying that he blamed the, quote, hell and the, quote, unbelievable stress of leaving the Church of Scientology. He said he defected 7 years ago, and he's basing, he said, his council campaign on a pledge to stand up against what he says is their dominating presence and in downtown and to challenge their tax-exempt status. So, but yeah, the witnesses were saying that he called the girlfriend. A man punched him in the head after he heard the council candidate call his girlfriend about all these names, including that one. And the guy said that he didn't use the word, but then he said it after the boyfriend punched him. I'm like, what? After the other guy punched him. Oh, my gosh. So this is crazy. Oh, and then he also threw Mardi Gras beads at people and tried to, I guess if they wouldn't sign, then wouldn't register, then he taunted them to fight. Actually, that's not a really bad way to get people to sign up to vote. I'm just saying, like, throw beads at them and be like, if you're not going to sign up, fight me. I mean, it's not, I don't know if I don't like it or not. I don't know. Let's see. A couple of other things here. This is in Naples. Deputies say a man was singing with his eyes closed and crashed his car. Zachary David Allen, 26, told deputies he was singing an Ellie Goulding song when he ran into the sign at Dreamcatcher Circle in Dancing Wind Lane. He was totally arrested on DUI. But that wasn't what caused the crash, he said, as like that was some sort of way to not get arrested for that. It was because he had his eyes closed while singing, which is only an excuse that a drunk person would give. So the DUI arrest makes sense. Oh, and by the way, he also had all kinds of like bags and of drugs and all kinds of stuff in there. So he's in some trouble. All right, folks, we got another hour of insanity. Oh, we've got more Biden presser audio that you have not heard yet. Stay with us.
Anybody who listened to the speech, I did not say that there were going to be a George Wallace or a Bull Connor. I said we're going to have a decision in history that is going to be marked just like it was then. You either voted on the side that didn't make you George Wallace or didn't make you Bull Connor. But if you did not vote for the Voting Rights Act back then, you were voting with those who agreed with Connor.
That's just semantics,
those
dude.
Agreed with and
that's
so,
just semantics. It's semantics. That's all it is. That's Joe, his press conference yesterday. Welcome back to the program. Whew. Happy Thursday to you. Dana Lash here with you. Very good to be here with you. Oh, my goodness. So I have so much audio. I know you guys watched that presser. I have a ton of things to talk to you about. And this, and we're going to talk about more of the, how Biden was like, oh, yeah, the election could totally be illegitimate. And then Psaki's like, no, he didn't say it could be illegitimate. He's like, yeah, I totally said it could be that. So that was yesterday. He was asked about this, and he got really, really mad. Poor little Phil Wegman. I don't mean Lil, like, he's diminutive, just, you know, Phil Wegman, you know, just really showing up for Americans, asking the question. And then Joe Biden got so mad at him. Listen to this. Listen.
Sort of in the same camp.
No, I didn't say that. Look what I said. Go back and read what I said and tell me if you think I called anyone who voted on the side of position taken by Bull Connor that they were Bull Connor.
And
that is an interesting reading of English. You I assume you got into journalism because you like to write.
Dang. That's insane. He was mad. And he did say that. I love the semantics that he's employing here. Because he was saying that. If you're not voting and doing what I want, then you're Bull Connor. I didn't say you were Bull Connor. I just said you're doing exactly what Bull Connor does. So I'm shocked. I'm just shocked. I'm not shocked, actually. It's so stupid. He got so mad at Phil Wegman. He got so mad at him. Now, there's more fun. So he was talking about his support from the black community, which, by the way, they're hemorrhaging support from the black community. Listen to this soundbite.
Their back. I've had their back my entire career. I've never not had their back. And I started on the voting rights issues long, long ago. That's what got me involved in politics in the first place. And I think part of the problem is, look, there's significant disagreement in every community on whether or not the timing of assertions made by people has been in the most timely way. So I'm sure that there are those who are saying that why didn't Biden push John Lewis bill as hard as he pushed it the last month? Why didn't he push it 6 months ago as hard as he did now?
So he says that Biden said that I've always had black supporters backs. I've had black voters backs my entire career. Like that time when I didn't want them to go to school with my kids because I was worried about it being a quote unquote racial jungle. He said that. You know, I supported black voters like when I was pushing segregation. It was great. I supported everybody's back. Oh, my gosh. He actually says this stuff without any kind of trace of irony here. Now, my friend James Rosen asked him this question on the issue of Biden's mental fitness. And I just need you to listen to Biden's answer on this. This is great.
I'd like to raise a delicate subject. But with utmost respect for your life accomplishments and the high office you hold. A poll released this morning by Politico Morning Consult found 49% of registered voters disagreeing with the statement, Joe Biden is mentally fit. Wow. Not even a majority of Democrats who responded strongly affirmed that statement.
Well, I'll let you all make the judgment whether they're correct.
Well, the question I have for you, sir, if you'd let me finish, is why do you suppose such large segments of the American electorate have come to harbor such profound concerns about your cognitive fitness? Thank you.
I have no idea.
That's literally his answer. And then he goes, next question. Next question. He went to the next. That was his answer. That was it. That's it. There you go. Next question.
Him having no idea is a pretty accurate answer for
most
everything.
Pretty much like describes like everything. Yeah. Can I hear 11 again? Because it's my favorite and I want to save it forever.
But look, let me ask a rhetorical question. No, I won't. Anyway.
Then you have Ducey time. Audio soundbite 15. Peter Ducey steps up to the microphone.
You always ask me the nicest questions. I know you do.
All right.
None of them make a lot of sense to me, but I...
Well, let's try.
Fire away. Come on.
A new year. Why are you trying so hard in your first year to pull the country so far to the left?
Well... I'm not. I don't know what you consider to be too far to the left. If, in fact, we're talking about making sure that we had the money for COVID, making sure we had the money to put together the bipartisan infrastructure, making sure we were able to provide for those things that, in fact, would significantly reduce the burden on working class people,
but
make them
have
to continue to work hard. I don't know how that is pointed to the left.
Is he running out of breath while he's talking? It just sounds so weird. I feel like it's like the battery going dead in a wireless speaker. And you're like, wait a minute, why is it getting so soft? Why? It just, man.
Just stop seeing Spider-Man.
Right. Then Biden wants you to name one president who has done more than he, Joe Biden, has in 1 year. Name one, he says.
Around this time last year when you were campaigning in Georgia, I think one of the things you told people was the power is literally in your hands. You know, if voters give Democrats the House and the Senate and the presidency, that all these big things can get accomplished. And, you know, we've seen stalemate. We've seen things being stymied. Why should folks believe you this time around?
Can you think of any other president that's done as much in 1 year? Name one for me.
I'm asking you.
I'm serious.
Trump.
You guys talk about how nothing's happened. Yeah. I don't think there's been much on any incoming president's plate that's been a bigger menu than the plate I had given to me. I'm not complaining.
He got a big plate, guys.
And the fact of the matter is we got an awful lot done.
It was a charcuterie board that he received. Oh, man.
With only cheese on it.
I don't know. Okay, so now here's the other thing. He had said, will you play this? I put this in Slack with the arrow. Mm-hmm. He had said that, and this was a response to a question from Philip Wegman. And Philip Wegman is over at Real Clear News. And so he asked this question about legitimacy of elections. And first, I want you to listen to the soundbite.
A moment ago, you were asked whether or not you believed that we would have free and fair elections in 2022 if some of these state legislatures reformed their voting protocols. You said that it depends. Do you think that they would in any way be illegitimate?
Oh, yeah, I think it easily could be illegitimate. Imagine if
now,
in fact.
So now he just asked Jen Psaki a question at the press conference just now. He asked, he tweeted, it was Peter Alexander who asked this question. He's over at NBC. And Phil Wegman just tweeted this. Peter Alexander asked, quote, yes or no, if all remains as it is now, does Biden believe the midterms will be legitimate? Psaki said, yes. Peter says, even if there are no changes to voting laws going forward, Biden is still confident elections this fall will be legitimate. Psaki says, yes. So, wait, I have the audio for this. Here, Kane, I'm just dropping this in Slack right now. So, Biden said the opposite, literally in his speech last night. So which is it? Which is it? This is Peter Alexander. Listen.
Yes or no, does the president believe if all remains as it is right now that the elections this fall will be legitimate?
What the point he was making is that as recently as 2020, as we know, the former president was trying to work with local officials to overturn the vote count and not have ballots counted. And we have to be very eyes wide open about that and clear-eyed that that is the intention potentially of him and certainly of members of his party.
So to be clear, the president is satisfied, even if, because yesterday, obviously, voting rights hit a wall in Congress right now without the votes for the filibuster rules to be changed. And given the conversation you just had about other avenues that could be taken, if there are no changes in terms of voting rights legislation going forward, the president does still feel confident that the elections this fall will be legitimate.
Yes.
What did he say yesterday? In his speech, when he was asked questions about this, and he was basically asked this exact same thing.
Asked whether or not you believed that we would have free and fair elections in 2022 if some of these state legislatures reformed their voting protocols. You said that it depends. Do you think that they would in any way be illegitimate?
Oh, yeah, I think it easily could be illegitimate.
Ooh.
They're not on the same page.
Ooh, what page are you guys on? This is, we got headlines on the way. You don't want to miss that.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so a few things. How did I do this? I like closed something out. And oh, here I am. Good grief. We're still laughing our heads off over all this audio. So a couple of things. This a judge signs the plan and is resolving Puerto Rico's bankruptcy battle. Their government declared back in 2015 that they had $70 billion in public debt. Big, that's a lot of debt. Nearly five-year bankruptcy battle is coming to an end. Federal judge signed a plan that slashes their public debt load as part of restructuring and allows them to start repaying their creditors. It's the largest municipal debt restructuring in U.S. history. They had a lot of hearings. They had a lot of bargaining. So very, and of course, you know, this is after hurricanes and earthquakes and pandemics and everything else. So this has been a crazy kind of, it's been a crazy couple of years. So this, apparently they're talking about cell phones that which cell phone emits the most radiation. And as I'm weird, even if it doesn't do anything, I like to use like earbuds instead of having my phone up to my head. But they say that the phones that emit the most radiation, the specific absorption rate of smartphones, and this is from Statista, they say the Motorola Edge, followed by Axon, OnePlus, Xperia, Google's Pixel 3 XL and 4A, the Oppo Reno 5G, and then Sony's Xperia XZ1 Compact. Apparently, those are the ones that emit the most radiation. I don't like any of that. That's awful. Oh, use your earbuds. The same. The science finds a cure for arthritis pain by using electricity to grow cartilage. That's interesting. New method of regrowing cartilage by zapping the bone could bring pain relief to millions of people who suffer from arthritis. They were researching this at the University of Connecticut. They successfully tested it on rabbits. They said it uses small electric shocks to stimulate cartilage growth. Interesting. Very interesting indeed. White Castle cancels their fine dining on Valentine's Day. We've talked about this before. They do this thing every Valentine's Day. Well, some in select markets. They have this dine-in experience for couples who want to remember their special day with $1 burgers and fries, and they would add a couple of romantic touches. They would turn their restaurants into fine dining rooms, complete with reservations, hostess seating, tableside service, and festive red decor. And now they said there were like 30,000 people that participated in that in the past couple of years. But because of Omicron, they're not doing it now. They're not doing the Valentine's Day. They said it's the first time that they've been doing this since 1991. They said out of abundance of caution for this endemic virus, we're not going to do it. Even though probably everybody's going to have it by that point. That's dumb. That's a dumb thing to... Did you ever go to White Castle for Valentine's Day?
Not for Valentine's Day, no. In St. Louis, though, I would, you know, every now and again, hit the White Castle.
Like, what is up with, like, so we're all from originally St. Louis. What is up with St. Louisans and White Castle? Or people in Missouri, period, and White Castle?
There's a, like, Texas doesn't have any, or at least in this area, they don't have any.
No, White Castle, and I think my stepdad's, like, the biggest fan. Yeah. I think that most of the White Castle over the years has been consumed by that man. All right, so coming up, we got a lot more to get into, including some media and some virus news. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
The time to send out the tweets, do the media appearances. Does that take
doesn't take away? Long to send out a tweet? Promise you.
Does that take away from the administration's ability to send a consistent message to international allies and the American people?
I can assure you that our allies and partners know exactly what the president's position is. They knew what it was yesterday. They knew during the press conference. They knew after the press conference, because we have been engaged closely and working in lockstep with them for weeks on the rising military incursion or threat posed by Russia. So they know exactly where they stand. They always have, and they certainly do today.
It seems like the Ukrainians disagree with her. Zelensky was tweeting just yesterday that there's no such thing as a minor incursion when it comes to invasion. Welcome back to the show. Happy Thursday to you. Dana Lash with you this afternoon. Always good to be with you. Yeah, it seems as though they don't exactly agree with what she's saying there. They don't buy it. And I don't really think a lot of people buy it either. Nobody does. They've been all, I mean, they're really having to go out and clean everything up. It has been such a mess. Such a mess. Ukrainian officials were slamming Biden. Not just Zelensky, but a number of them. I mean, it was really awkward to watch. It really was. They had that. The later on, not only did Psaki have to tweet something out, but so did National Security Council spokeswoman Emily Horn. She kept saying, you know, Biden's clarified this. He was referring to the difference between like military and like non-military and paramilitary cyber action by the Russians, and such actions would be met by a reciprocal response in coordination with allies and partners. That's not what he said, though. That is not at all what he said. The White House had to issue a full clarifying statement. President Biden has been clear with the Russian president. If military forces move across the Ukrainian border, that's a renewed invasion. Oh, renewed invasion. But yesterday, he totally forgot at all whatsoever that Russia had ever invaded Ukraine like they did in 2014 when he was vice president. This is crazy. It was bizarre. I mean, I think everybody's jaw dropped, Democrat or Republican, when he made those remarks. And then he turned into a pundit and was trying to game what he thought that Putin would do and what he wouldn't do. It was just weird to watch it. Oh, he'd play a dear. Russia would pay a dear price through sanction if it acts. Really? But you failed to put you actually removed sanctions from Russia. Biden removed sanctions from Russia that the previous administration had established. So I don't believe that he would. I don't think anybody believes that he would. And just last week, Democrats failed to pass sanctions. They didn't support the Republican bill calling for sanctions against Russia over Nord Stream 2. In fact, Amy Klobuchar, she was out there tweeting that, well, this, you know, it's crazy. We have to sanction Russia. But you all didn't do that at all. You were against it. So nobody believes him. He's already blinked. He gave them their pipeline. He blinked. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion. Oh my gosh. It's just a disaster. And remember, the only reason that he was even catapulted as Barack Obama's sidekick was because Joe Biden was supposed to have all of this foreign policy experience. He likes to appropriate his late son's service and somehow argue that that translates into some sustainable knowledge about foreign policy for himself. So it sounds like he does. It was embarrassing to watch. It was one of the he's not going to have another press conference, is he? That was it, isn't it? I don't see him ever having. Do you all see? I don't see him ever having another presser. I don't. It was an absolute disaster. It was a disaster. And there's so much cleanup that they have to do now. So much. And then, of course, yesterday, the filibuster, the removal of it defeated the move that Democrats were making to nationalize elections. That's done. It's dead. So this was a disaster, just an absolute disaster. There's just no way around it. And I tell you, too, it wasn't just this. It was him questioning the legitimacy of elections. Remember when that was like a bad thing, talking about the delegitimization of our elections in this country? And everyone was saying Trump is undermining public faith in our elections. And he's, you know, saying that. Well, what did Joe Biden do yesterday in front of the nation, in front of the world? So it's OK so to the left, they think it's OK if Biden questions elections, but not Trump. And that's the thing. Trump was always talking about ballots and the validity of ballots that were cast during the pandemic when we were wondering, you know, whether or not some of these ballots in these states that just completely, without going through their legislature, decided they weren't going to follow their state constitution anymore, regulating how voting took place so that the integrity of and legitimacy of the vote could be protected. Biden's just outright saying, well, unless you nationalize elections, I can't guarantee it's could be illegitimate. Well, how was he elected without his voting rights bill then? If he thinks that without it, you're not legitimate, then how the hell were you elected? Thinking's not his strong suit. Good grief. No, here's the problem. Democrats have lost They've lost the bigger narrative. And what was the bigger narrative? Biden was supposed to be the Trump antidote. He was supposed to be Mr. President McUnity. And he's not that at all. Now Biden was talking about the big lie. He's pushing it. He literally said, quote, oh, yeah, I think it could easily be illegitimate. The increase in the prospect of being illegitimate is in proportion to not being able to get these reforms passed, end quote. They asked Kamala Harris if she thought it would be legitimate. And she said, quote, let's get these bills passed before we have that conversation, end quote. That was this morning. This is, they're questioning it. Now, where do you, hear all of these Democrats out there screeching? And it's not that, not at all. It's okay for them, just like it's okay for them to use the filibuster when they want to, and they use the filibuster to kill those sanctions against Russia. It's all right for them to use the filibuster. It's okay for them to question the legitimacy of elections. Few other things to hit, too. This presser was just nuts. It was nuts. Another media narrative bit the dust. You didn't hear a lot about this. Trump denied a bitter rift with Ron DeSantis. He was asked about this yesterday. And he said, quote, I have a very good relationship with DeSantis, end quote. I think they meet and they eat together frequently. I know that there's a number of pictures, a couple of several different times of DeSantis at Mar-a-Lago eating with Trump. And Trump fielded questions about, it was a small number of reporters on this conference call, and he was asked about it. He's like, I got a great relationship with DeSantis, is what he said. He said, he won the election the day that I announced I was going to give him my endorsement. And he goes, I helped him beat their so-called Democrat star who turned out to be not much of a star. He goes, but I have a very good relationship with them. And he says, we've had that for a long time. So there goes that media narrative. What did I tell you? I told you it was bait. I told you it was bait. Let the Democrats be the ones who are screaming at each other. There's no reason why Republicans need to be doing it. Not right now. We're so close. So close. We're just so close. And then I had noted this. Let me pull this up. I saw this soundbite earlier. I went really quickly because I was going to include this and I was looking for it on James Clyburn when he was on CNN this morning and they were asking him about voting rights and legitimate elections. And Clyburn's like, oh, I'm absolutely concerned about that. You know what actually I think people are concerned about? Is gerrymandering. Have you ever looked at James Clyburn's district? I had a friend who said Clyburn could throw puppies in a wood chipper while calling everybody in his district a slur and he'd still win because it's so gerrymandered. That's true. Don't you think that's kind of a bigger threat to democracy than the false claims he's making? I think so. I think so. Now, a couple of other things to prepare for tomorrow. So apparently this guy, he's slated to sit for a transcribed interview with the January 6th committee tomorrow, according to Ray Epps' attorney. He's the guy who was seen instigating the riot on video. He said that he spoke with the committee, which apparently nobody knew about. And he says, oh, I wasn't working on behalf of the FBI. Apparently he's an oath keeper. And then suddenly all these oath keepers started getting arrested. It's crazy. It sounds like they had an informant. Interesting. But, and this is after Adam Kinzinger was like, sorry, you crazy people. There's nothing to this at all. But now, so Epps' attorney is trying to say that the FBI, oh, well, FBI removed him from its suspect database because Epps called the FBI. And talked to him after a relative said he had appeared in a news report related to the riot. So apparently he met informally with the select committee in November. And then now Friday, tomorrow, he's sitting for a formal transcribed interview. Interesting that that happened so quickly right after Trump called him out. But just saying. I mean, I don't know how common that is. It's just kind of weird that they had an informal meeting and now he's sitting for this transcribe meeting, this meeting that they're having. But I thought the January 6th committee said that he was interviewed already and that they cleared him. So I'm confused. Which is it? Did they not transcribe the first time that he sat with him? He met them informally in November. Did they not transcribe that meeting? So they have to do it again? Does this make sense to anybody else?
No.
Why is he meeting with them again? Are they meeting with other participants? What's happening here? I mean, he was literally there. He was on video inciting, and I don't know.
I think it's for the media. I don't think it's for any other reason than handing the media a narrative with some sort of congressional backing.
He's literally on video though, inciting, telling people to go and screw stuff up. And there are people who were subpoenaed to come in for questioning who weren't even in D.C.
Yep. Which is why I think they need this media narrative to clear, so they once and for all pull his name out of the conversation.
The whole thing is weird. So this is happening tomorrow. And I'll bring you any updates that I have on it. But this is happening tomorrow.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
The president said yesterday, among other things, that he thinks that Putin probably will invade Ukraine. Later, he said he wasn't sure, but he said he probably will go in. Is that, for all intents and purposes, acknowledging that this threat of severe sanctions that the administration has made is having no effect on Putin, that he's actually not deterred by it?
Well, I'm not going to psychoanalyze President Putin of Russia, but I will tell you this. It is clear to us that the decision is probably in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. No, that's not. That's our esteemed vice president. Girl boss. President girl boss in our new idiocracy. I'm president girl boss.
But she's literally saying that those sanctions Putin obviously doesn't care about. If it's still in his hands and they think it's going to happen, clearly the sanctions aren't the answer.
Yeah, because sanctions would mean they're not. Yeah. You don't have anything in your hands. Your hands are free and empty. You have nothing in them because of the sanctions. How dare you correct President Girl Boss? Oh, man. I just can't. Welcome back. DanaLash.com. Wolfgang Puck apparently said we're not very far from a $100 stake. What? I will chase down a cow, dude. Right. You'll see me. We'll drive by a ranch and I'll just fling myself out the passenger side and just chase down a steer. This is going to happen. Man. No, it better not. Let's not do it. Let's not say we did. Goodness. Now, tomorrow's Friday, and I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody just kind of fall apart tonight on cable news because of all the failures in the Senate today and the super high disapproval rating for President McUnity. And, of course, we're going to have Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Peter McCullough. I have a whole bunch of virus stuff that I'm saving for tomorrow. So we have Dr. Robert Malone. Our show's totally going to get suppressed. I'll have videos removed on Facebook because all my interviews with Malone were removed on Facebook. Some glorified barista on Facebook was like, I know more than this doctor. I know more than you. I read Google. So I can't wait until we're kicked off YouTube and all of that just for asking questions and having conversations. So that'll be tomorrow. Yay, fun. Woo. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
It will be a fun Friday. Looking forward to that. All right, it is President Biden from last night. Here he is claiming he didn't overpromise anything. He's, if anything, he probably outperformed. Listen to this.
Did you overpromise to the American public what you could achieve in your first year in office? And how do you plan to course correct going forward?
Why are you such an optimist? Look, I didn't overpromise, and but I have probably outperformed what anybody thought would happen.
Outperformed?
Who is anybody? I probably outperformed what nobody thought, because nobody thought I was going to do anything. Like the lowest common denominator. I breathed.
Right.
He breathed today, everybody. Yay! So he stood up by himself unassisted. He ate his whole pudding cup. So congratulations. Folks, that does it for us tonight. Make sure you sign up for that newsletter over at Substack. Back with you tomorrow.